it's time to play King Stupid. I'm William Van Dyke. Welcome to King Stupid, the panel game in which you, the audience at home, get to listen to the radio. Now, we're going to play silly games and I'll give out points. And then, like in any game, the money men will move in with their sponsorship deals, the amateur ethos will wither away, and eventually the whole thing will become a joyless, cynical marketing exercise. But hopefully that won't happen today. So let's meet the guests. And, well, I call them guests, but they didn't bring anything. Bottle of wine or something, you know. Some matchmakers would have been nice, but I'm going to greet them in a European sort of manner by kissing them on both cheeks. So, firstly, from Friday Night Armistice, Peter Bainham.
Thank you for kissing me.
So we can get to know a bit more about you, Peter. If you're a mythical creature, half man, half something else, what would you be?
Ooh. I think I'd probably be sort of like a Zebedee, but a reverse Zebedee, where my legs were legs, but then the top half was a spring. For no other reason than just to sort of distress children. And I think I'd get a seat on a train quite easily as well.
That's all we've got time for tonight. Next, we have comedian and actor Simon Pegg. Hello, Simon. And what demi-human mythical beast would you be?
I'd be what Peter was, because that was really funny. It seemed to work. Oh, yeah. No, I would. If I'd be one of those Zebedee creatures, I'm a good mate, and then just fill the world with spring men, which would be good, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Okay, our third guest is the co-star of Light Lunch, Channel 4's popular student breakfast show, Sue Perkins. Hello, Sue.
And, hello.
Sue, what fabulous creature would you be?
I think I would be half woman, that'd be an improvement, and half lager, so that men would feel an instant gravitational-style pull towards me.
And our fourth guest is comic writer and journalist Dave Green.
Hello.
Dave, what mythical creature are you?
I'd like to be half Dalek. But again, in a sort of reverse way, the top half of a Dalek with human legs, so then I could run up and downstairs.
Quite good, you could actually have a fight between the Daleks and the Spring Men.
Yeah. You want
Universal
for
Universal law. Yeah, I'm up for that.
A Dalek on a spring axe would be great, wouldn't it? Time for bed, said Davros.
Dalek on a spring was actually the first version of that hit record that was Puppet on a Spring. Yeah. Did rather better, but... That makes four guests, and that's all you're getting. Now, our first round is about Lonely Hearts columns in the paper. Specifically, it's about those abbreviations that people use, like GSOH, which stands for Good Sense of Humour, and KS, which stands for Can't Spell. Do our guests have any suggestions for new abbreviations? Frankly, they'd better. If they don't, I'm in some kind of trouble.
I've got FHNAP, which is false hands, not a problem.
I've got MLLMM, which is must look like my mother.
Your mother might apply to that.
Yeah.
She'd be a perfect candidate for that.
How much N for nice? It's quite simple, you know, saves you money, doesn't it?
PSYCHO. Preferably someone younger can handle oddness.
I thought N-S-O-H, B-P-S-A-W-S-W-L-F, which is no sense of humour, but powerful, successful and wealthy. So who's laughing now?
I've got O-P-T-A-F-A-L-A-N-B... I-3-5-A-S-S-A-Y-K-W-T-P-I-O-A-A-I-N-D-O-G-O-G-O-G-I-T-A-W-H-P-O-P-C-A-A-P-M-F-L-C-W. And I actually can remember that, which is... only place this ad for a laugh, and not because I'm 35 and still single and, you know, what's the problem? It's only an ad. I'm not desperate. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God, I'll take anyone. Anyone. Woman, horse, pile of pork chops. Anyone, anyone. Pull me from this black pit of masturbatory despair. Also, old lawnmower, Fiverr or nearest offer.
M-H-O-P, must have own pig.
Okay, well, very imaginative wordplay from our panellists there. They say Radio 4 isn't erudite anymore. Well, we're the most eruditest thing on it. Let's give some points. Simon, 2 points there. Dave, 2. Sue, 3. And Peter, mainly for stamina, 5 points. Before we go on, I would like to say one thing. This is a radio show. Now, I love the medium of radio. I think it's a far superior medium to television, and I hate the practice of using new radio shows as just a cheap way of trying out ideas for television. I don't like that. I don't like that at all, and it's not something I'd ever do. We love radio, and that's why we're here. Thanks. Yeah. Anyway, on with the picture round. Who could that be, do you think? Sue, you buzz first.
Is it Alex Hurricane Higgins?
Well, we're going to remove the disguise. It is indeed. Well done. Two points to Sue.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Okay, recently there's been a huge explosion in men's lifestyle magazines like Maxim or FHM. Or FM. These magazines appeal both to culturally aware 90s lads and also to men who are too short to reach the titty mags on the top shelf. Now, there are new titles coming out all the time, so in this round, I want you to suggest terrible names for them. I'm going to give you one to start off. Flaccid. Simon, new men's lifestyle mags.
Boobs, cars, guns, bombs, booze. But I think
Yeah, but don't tell us about your private life. Tell us about
sorry.
Absentee father.
I thought exchange and whore. which is, you know, it's a combination of you can buy and sell things like, obviously, old lawnmowers and things like that, and get a whore. So that's good.
Extreme Moderation, the quarterly journal of abstinence and temperate living.
Famous people's grannies. Where you have the centrefold Anna Friel's naked grandmother. Mm. I've actually succeeded in disgusting myself. I'm going to be very silent for the next 20 minutes.
Chicks with flu. So I really think magazines are, you know, again, like interesting features on sport and that, and then just naked women blowing their noses.
That's quite enough of all that sort of rubbish. I think we'll have 2 points each and 3 for Sue for leaving us with that rather disturbing image of Anna Friel's grandmother. All right, let's have a look at the total scores so far. And in fourth place at the moment is Dave Green. In second place is Peter Bainham. In third place is Simon Pegg. And in the lead is Sue Perkins. So, Sue, you're in the lead. Bet you feel pretty good about that. But the others are watching you, stalking you, hunting you as a pack. Evaluating your weaknesses. Waiting for you to tire. Waiting for you to make the slightest mistake. And then they will pounce. Oh yes, they will pounce. And on to our musical round. A lot of the world's most popular music is entirely instrumental. Let's face it, every instrumental will be better with a few lyrics over it. That's why Debussy's Clair de Lune is an inferior composition to Ernie the Fastest Milkman in the West, as performed by Benjamin Hill. Any idiot could tell you that all instrumental records need words, and one just did. So, Simon, could you add lyrics to The Imperial March from Star Wars?
I
I'm Darth Vader and I'm really, really bad. I've got a shiny helmet and I'm Luke Skywalker's dad. I was played by Dave Prowse, but they didn't use my vocal cause I sound like a yokel. Oh, isn't that very sad?
Not quite as sad as using the phrase shiny helmet to get laughs.
Peter, your mission, should you choose to accept it...
I wonder what that's going to be.
...is to give us the lyrics to Mission Impossible.
They're very tasty, don't make you very full. But are they a fruit or are they a vegetable? Tomatoes, tomatoes, tomatoes. Confusing. Tomatoes, tomatoes, tomatoes. Weird.
That's quite good, actually, because determining whether a tomato is a fruit or a vegetable would, in fact, be a mission impossible.
What, in a particularly poor episode when they'd all been stuck? The mission, should you wish to accept it, is to find out why bread goes blue after about 3 weeks.
Pin mold.
But more useful than most of the stuff they do, you know, when they're just sort of climbing around air vents and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And dressing up as the Pope for no good reason. They do that every week in Mission Impossible.
What?
Why do they dress as the Pope every week?
No. That's
so that's the Pope.
That's the Pope's official visit.
That's the Pope's official visit.
And then he goes on tours in that sort of glass covered buggy. Because I was going to say that's Mission in Popemobile. A duet now, Dave and Sue. Please, could you add words to Prokofiev's Romeo and Juliet?
At the weekend, Juliet?
Oh, nothing special. What you got in mind?
Well, we could go for a meal, or maybe 10-pin bowling, or crawl into the family tomb and maybe kill ourselves.
That sounds like fun. Let's go and do that then. Pick me up at 7.
Yeah, see you then.
Bye. Bye.
You hang up first.
No, you hang up first.
No, you hang up.
No, you hang up.
No, you hang up.
Shall we just sort of hang up together? I sound like a rat on crack cocaine.
Well, that round is over, so you can let the pets back out of the kitchen. Right, so 2 points there for Dave and Sue, and 1 point each for Simon and Vita. Everybody knows the blatantly inaccurate proverb, red sky at night, shepherd's delight. I'm asking you, what does the sky mean at other times? Dave, you start us off.
How about red sky at 11s? Oh, no, you forgot to take out your contact lenses.
I think black sky in the morning, you've unfortunately detached your retina. You should consult a GP as soon as you possibly can to ensure that you save your eyesight.
Red sky that looks like you've got a big sty. Somebody's filled your eye with shepherd's pie. I'm sorry, I've been working very hard lately and...
Just not on this show.
Multicoloured sky in the morning, no prizes for guessing what you're doing up so late, you big drug jockey.
Red sky in the afternoon, shepherd's blown up Richard Branson's hot air balloon. Thank you, shepherd.
Red dawn in the video store, oh no, another evening catapulted back to Ronald Reagan's 1980s and the Cold War.
Rosetsky at night, nocturnal tennis players.
Okay, I think...
Red Bull at night, you won't get to sleep because it's full of caffeine. It's equivalent to 20 cups of coffee. All right, that doesn't rhyme, technically, but...
But it's a truth.
Mm.
Peter, though, we can give 4 points to that. Sue can have 3 points, Dave can have 2, and Simon can have an entirely arbitrary 3 as well. There we go. OK, you all did very well. You could have had lime green sky at night. The sky has been done over by a BBC Two Home Design show. But Well, on to the next round. I'd like you all to listen to this piece of music. That was An Ending, Ascent, by Brian Eno. It was composed to accompany a film of the Apollo moon missions. But what I want to know is, when you're at the zoo, what noise should you make to get a baby monkey to eat nuts out of your hand? Dave?
I'd go for the basic.
Okay, Sue?
No, I'd go for the advanced course. I'd go for
Okay, Simon, you're next, but remember that has already gone.
I think I'll just say, oi monkey, I've got some nuts.
They're very smart, aren't they? They understand more than they let on.
Yeah.
After all that work, Peter.
I want to make a loud noise so that it opens its mouth and then place the nut within the monkey's mouth.
OK, well, I'm not giving you any points for that round. I'm just trying to get my monkeys fed for free. In the next round, I'd like the panel to do something useful for a change. I want you to provide practical hints and tips for first-time home buyers. Young couples, toddlers who've made a lot of money in the city, people like that. OK, Simon, what would be your advice to youngsters anxious to get into debt for the rest of their lives?
Build your confidence and get some practice in by buying a few Wendy houses first.
Peter, what would your good advice be?
One thing is whenever you go out viewing a house, that if you go to open one of the doors and they go, don't go in there! Never, ever go in there! Then I'd think twice about it and maybe sort of have a look at a few other properties, basically. I'd also beware of negative equity, which is a particularly depressed section of the actors' union. Who have given up being actors and got jobs as estate agents, and they're rubbish, basically. Yeah.
All right, well, Sue, other than evict your parents, have you got any tips for prospective property purchasers?
There are a few tips when you enter your first home, things to watch out for. If you walk through the door and there's a slight give on the floor, then proceed to the walls. If you get a little pin, just pop. If you find yourself suddenly covered with an enormous sheath of orange rubber, it's either your lucky day or it is a bouncy castle. So just beware of that.
I think the children bouncing up and down around you whilst you're viewing the house.
Dave, what would your tip be?
You could just impress the estate agents, make them think you're a real sort of high roller by arriving Monopoly style. Astride an enormous pewter terrier. Park that. That would be about the size of a two-storey house. Park that in the street. Then they know they're messing with the big boys.
It's really impressive.
And also, conversely, be careful that your house isn't small and green.
Mine is, but then it's in Wales. Can I just say that I just want to warn anyone buying a flat that, or a house, that there's a big difference between a repayment mortgage and a satsuma.
It's wise words.
I'm a mistake.
Yeah.
Your home's at risk if you don't eat that satsuma.
Keep up the segments.
You've got to be careful when you're looking at houses. Watch out for those headless, torso-shaped lumps in the wallpaper.
And that's quite enough of all that, I think. Right, well, time for the points for that round. We're going to score this round in a slightly more progressive manner. The panellists are going to choose their own scores. So, Dave, how many points do you think you deserved for that?
One, I think.
I thought for a moment you'd been too harsh on yourself, but I think it's actually fair.
Yeah, that's
fair. Simon?
I'm all right, thanks. Took part in a particularly heavy panel game last night, and I'm just feeling a little bit full. So I'll skip it.
OK, Peter?
Infinity, please.
OK, well, I'll cut you back a little bit on that. I think they have two.
That's fine, thanks.
Sue?
Well, what, Pete's got two?
Yeah.
Three.
OK, well, the winner of that round is Sue Perkins. Okay, for the next round, I would like the listeners at home to create a dark and slightly more spooky atmosphere. So turn all your lights off now. Turn off any electrical appliances that might make a noise. Not the radio! No! Oh, turn the radio back on. Oh. Because we're going to play The Work of the Devil. Now, there are many names for the devil. Lucifer, Beelzebub, the Red Noel Edmonds. Whatever his name, he doth wreak havoc upon this earth. Oh, yay. So, each contestant in turn now will say the name of a person or thing. But if they think that the last thing named is the work of the devil, then they must tell us, so we may burn it. Okay? Dave, you first.
The ongoing craze for sitcoms which are like British versions of Friends.
Satan's day job.
Disposable paper pants.
The stunning decision in 1996 to discontinue production of Limes World Cheese, from which I have not recovered.
Sunny Delight.
Moths.
Robson.
Is the work of the devil.
Well, we can all agree on that. He is indeed the work of the devil. Okay, so please don't play Work of the Devil at home. It's not dangerous or anything. We'll just sue you for plagiarism. So. Okay, well, the next round is all about derivations. I'm going to give you a few words, and you have to give me their origins. It's a free-for-all round, by which I mean that you can speak when you like, not that you can run around shouting and swearing and taking drugs and copulating on tables. All right? The first word is lion. Lion.
I think lion, originally the term was lie-on, and that was because in the savannah, when elephants were very tired, they would actually use lions as scatter cushions. And the thing is, if you are thinking of using lions as scatter cushions, now is the time to do it, because yellow is very chic.
Right. What about aubergine? Peter?
Yeah, it comes from the German expression, which is the master vegetable, or the aubergine. Whose evil plan is literally to trample the potatoes into the soil.
Okay. What about wardrobe? Dave?
A wardrobe is, of course, two words, war and drobe. Drobe being a sort of, like, alien robot thing, not dissimilar to a droid. Sent here from some sinister alien race to steal our clothes and make us unready for the war bit.
You're making that
without any clothes. No, like, there are those times when you're trying to get the wardrobe open and it won't, and it's catching.
Is that the drobe that's doing that?
Yeah, that's just them practicing.
Okay. How about nuclear? Simon?
Nuclear comes from, it's an old word, it was during the war, the English were coming up with a revolutionary new spot cream called Clear, and but it wasn't going anywhere. Then the Americans got involved in the war and took on the project, and it became nuclear. But on testing it, they discovered that it didn't only remove spots, it removed the pores and indeed the face and the town in which the spotty young child lived in.
Okay, well, for that round, I'm going to give Simon 1 point, Peter 2 points, Sue 3 points, and Dave 4 points. And if you're particularly interested in words, there is another show on Radio 4 on Mondays at 9:30, where people say words. Right, well, I'm just about to add up the final scores, but in case any of you are level on points, we'll need to settle it with a tiebreaker, so let's do one now. Complete the following sentence. I like Radio 4 because... And I'll give you a few moments to think about that. I like Radio 4 because, in 20 words or less, or more. Right. That's long enough. Dave, what's your sentence?
I like Radio 4 because every programme is suffused with a barely concealed eroticism. Radio... Radio 4, more like.
Okay, Sue.
I like Radio 4 because it drowns out the incessant wittering of all the people that I've kidnapped and kept in a well that I've built in my lounge.
Okay, Simon.
I like Radio 4 because I want to.
Peter.
I like Radio 4 because you can't see the presenters. I don't know if you've ever seen Presents the Today programme, but he looks like somebody set fire to his face and then tried to put it out with a shovel.
Okay. Okay, that's... that's lovely. Thank you for that. Okay, let's see if we need those tiebreakers. Well, the final scores are that Peter Bainham got 10 points. You came fourth, so you're out of the medals there. Simon Pegg got 14 points. You're third. We haven't actually got any medals, so you don't get one either. Nor does Sue Perkins, who came second with 16 points. And nor does today's winner with 18 points, Dave Green. Okay, Peter, you came fourth this week. So that means you get a chance to win some of our big Radio 4 prizes on the conveyor belt. Okay, so let's start up the conveyor belt. Peter, remember, you have to try and remember every item that's on it. Take a good look now.
A wooden book about wire.
But don't say anything just yet. Because it's not so difficult when they're passing in front of you, is it? All right, Peter, what did you see?
A cardboard wasp soaked in Bell's whiskey.
Yes.
A speedboat made from flesh.
Tom Baker's favourite shoes.
Tom Baker's favourite shoes, yeah. Yeah.
Chip in, everybody.
There was
chip
a teaspoon of urine.
A gull spinning out of control into a man.
Absolutely.
Oh, one of those side of showers.
Oh, yeah. There was a pickled egg in labour.
A lot of ants mourning the death of Walt Disney. Big old pile of guts.
A slice of fried Wednesday.
Dean, that's going home with you tonight.
Cuddly hair.
What was next to the cuddly hair?
Metal dog.
Yes.
Oh, yes. And a gypsy in a bottle.
Yes, well done.
So glad you remembered that one.
Well done. Now, coming up next on BBC Radio 4, the topless shipping forecast. 1, 2, 3, bye! King Stupid was presented by I, William Van Dyke, and featured they, Dave Green, Sue Perkins, Peter Bainham and Simon Pegg. It was written by they, Kevin Cecil and Andy Riley, and produced by he, David Tyler. The agricultural story editor was Alistair McCluskey, and the show was a positive production for the BBC.